It's the Book of the Week.
Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday, it's Book Club Day, and we're mixing it up a bit today because it's Magic Matt, but I do not have Laurie with me. Instead, I've got Jackie, another member of the Portsmouth Authors Collective, and she's chatting to Matt Wingett about publishing, which sounds interesting. And we've also possibly got a competition for you. So keep your ears on, because the answer is going to be in the interview with Matt. So over to you, Jackie.
Good morning. Today, I'm surrounded by Matts. And I don't mean the hairy tall, although, actually, Matt Wingett, I don't know if you're hairy or not, don't know you well enough. But Matt is an author and publisher who celebrates the stories, histories and writers of Portsmouth and its surroundings. He writes short stories, had a local hit with his novel The Snow Witch, which was excellent, and produces works on Arthur Conan Doyle's life in Portsmouth. He's written episodes of The Bill and produces and stars in Holmesfest, celebrating Conan Doyle's greatest creation, Sherlock Holmes. Matt wears many hats, but today he's sitting opposite me wearing his publishing hat. Welcome to Victory, Matt.
Hello, Jackie, and thank you very much for having me.
Welcome. Now, I know you've got a publishing company. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And the name is so intriguing. Where did that come from?
Oh, that's a great question. Life is Amazing is the name of the publishing company. And yes, it's got quite a strange story to it. Basically, when I was about 40, in fact, exactly when I was 40 years old, I was struggling with writer's block. Oh. And I was on a training course with none other than the hypnotist Paul McKenna.
Oh, wow.
And Paul, having shown a particular hypnotic induction in the training course, I went up to him and I said, Paul, can we use that to lift writer's block? And he went, yeah, absolutely. Now, I'd had writer's block for about 10 years. I just couldn't produce anything. People say there's no such thing as writer's block. I can tell you that is so patronising to somebody who has really suffered from just, like, losing sight of his creativity. So he did this induction, and about 2 days later, it all switched on. Wow. And at that time, I was actually thinking about following what Paul was doing and starting a little hypnosis company. And I decided to call it Life is Amazing. And I started a website with Life is Amazing.
Right.
And then actually, when things started to change and my focus changed, I thought, I love this name. Let's stay with Life is Amazing anyway. And we'll call the publisher Life is Amazing instead. So that's how he got its name. And you know, it's fun. And it is great, because what happens is that people see that and they go, oh, quirky, and I often get a good laugh from it as well. So, yeah. You know, so great.
So what sort of things do you publish, Matt?
Well, I think you've already said in the intro, really. I mean, what happened is that when I first started doing it, I was interested in kind of local community projects. So I did a couple of collections of short stories. I then started looking at Portsmouth local history, found that really fascinating, did some classic reprints of local histories that were out of print, and brought them back with new annotations, and then started looking at Portsmouth history and being absolutely amazed by it. And that's when I started to write historical stuff. I also started writing short stories based in Portsmouth, and as you said, a novel as well. So my interest is really there. I've published some books for other people, but my main focus is on producing stuff that's about Portsmouth in some way and the local environments.
And I know I've seen a lot of your books locally, in the museum, for instance.
Sure.
You've got quite a presence in the Portsmouth Museum.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, they're great. They're really supportive. And this is the thing, is with something like this, is what I realised, because you mentioned that I used to write for The Bill. The thing about The Bill is that I went in as a scriptwriter. I would write an entire episode. But the thing about that is that I already had the milieu sorted, i.e. where it was being set, who the characters were, all of that stuff. And so it was already felt authentic when you were writing the story. It was ready to go. When I was writing short stories, I, for years, struggled with trying to find a milieu which, to me, felt authentic.
A milieu.
I know. Sounds awfully posh. But when I actually got when I came back home to Portsmouth, because I'd been away for a long time, I suddenly went, oh my God, everything that you need is here. Mm. You know, it's this amazing self-contained world, Portsmouth. You've got extremes of poverty and you've got great wealth. You've got really interesting people, and it's just a really great place to write about. So that really fired me off as a place for inspiration for writing. And I just find it really fascinating.
Thanks, Matt. And now we'll just stop for a short break and then we'll be back with Matt. So interesting. I'm really enjoying this.
Yeah, I am too, Jackie. It's fascinating listening to Matt. But I've got a cool bit of music for you that I found on the Portsmouth Authors Collective Facebook page, funnily enough. I don't know if you remember Paul Armfield, who owns the Medina Bookshop over on the Isle of Wight. Well, he's also a musician, and he's got a lovely little song about books beside my bed, so I thought we'd play that. Here stands a...
So, back with Matt. We've heard a bit about your publishing company, Matt, but how did you get into it in the first place?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So, the way it started really was that I've been reading and writing and wanting to publish my entire life. And I produced lots of manuscripts in my 20s and 30s that I'd send out to agents, and they would always get rejected. There were a couple of times when I got called in for interviews to agencies in London, and, you know, they tried it out with lots of different publishers, various manuscripts, and never quite got there. Mm. And, you know, I already had pedigree. I already had a track record with writing for The Bill, so I knew I could write. It wasn't as if I was completely new at this game. And I reached a point where I believed that my work had value, but that they couldn't see it. And I think what really started to happen was that I began to be interested in following my own way. I did a short novel, a novella, for a group of girl singers called the Three Bells about 15 years ago.
Wow.
Which was really, really good fun. And what I realised with it was that what publishers want, what they're looking for, and what an agency is looking for, is the ability to interact with a market.
Yeah.
Now, when I was working with the Three Bells, these were vintage singers. They were in the Andrews Sisters style of singing. And what I realised was they're doing three gigs a week. They're really good fun, very funny. And those three gigs a week that they're doing, they're getting at least 50 people at each gig. So you're looking at 150 fresh faces every week, very often more. And I thought, well, you know, this is going to work if I do a short story or a novel and sell that at their gigs. We've got an instant market, ready-made market. So I had like 500 copies printed up and we sold out.
Wow.
And so that was a good starting point. And I realised that that's what I needed to do, was instead of thinking about just the story, I needed to think about how I could sell that story. And that essentially is what the job of a publisher is, right? Is to work out what they can do with product. So I've got this balancing act between creating and then selling the product, which I love doing. I really love selling.
You're good at selling.
Thank you so much. So the next thing then was that I then worked with a group of writers in Portsmouth during the 20 by 12 session. In 1812, it was the bicentenary of the birth of Charles Dickens, born in Portsmouth in 1812. And what happened during that period was that 20 writers were asked to speak for 12 minutes with writing that they'd done at different libraries around Portsmouth. And I was one of those. When we'd finished with that, Christine Lawrence was another one who was in there, William Sutton, there were many other names in there. When we'd finished the project and we'd all got up, and it was incredibly good for our confidence to be doing this, I was then approached, and they said, we'd love to get this published. And I'm like, oh, well, I've already done a book. I suppose I could do it. And I kind of just did that. And from there, other people approached me with ideas, and I started to publish stuff and get it out there. And that's basically how it all started.
Right. So do you think it was because you wanted to publish things that were just slightly not so easy to pigeonhole for the big main publishers, the big guys?
Well, I think that's exactly right. And the other thing is that my focus is Portsmouth.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, if you try and sell that to a main publisher like Little Brown or Penguin Random House, why are they going to pick it up?
Yeah.
There's no reason for them to do it, which means you have to go local.
Mm.
And for me, you know, it's like, well, I could go to somebody else or I could just learn how to lay out books and do it myself. And since I'm quite good on a computer and I enjoy that kind of thing, I thought, yeah, let's do it. So that's really how it developed up. But yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, and I know that you sell. I saw you recently in Gunwolf at the Love South Sea Shop.
Yes, Love Portsmouth down there.
Love Portsmouth Shop. That's right. And you had a huge table full of all the stuff that you've published, and it wasn't until you see it all on a table you realise how many books you've done.
Yeah, and it's this is what's also really interesting is when you decide to specialise and focus on a particular thing, and my speciality, let's be clear about this, is Portsmouth. Mm-hmm. So that means that it can be fiction, it can be history, it could be all sorts of mixtures of those things. Then what happens is that you realise that once you've got that kind of central focus, that you can generate new angles and new approaches, because what happens, I think, is that as you get to know more and more about your subject, you see different ways into it that are fun for people. And I think that's the really important thing for me, is that the writing is, you know, when I came up through school, writing was always, and reading was always something that was kind of hard work because you were doing your GCSEs or your O levels or whatever they may be, and kind of the sense of it as entertainment is kind of forgotten. And actually the primary thing about writing as a writer is you want to entertain people so they have fun when they're reading, and that's something that, you know, is really central to what I do.
And that's true of your books that are the information on Portsmouth, because the information, the way you put it out, the way the pictures, the illustrations that you've got in your books, they really catch your eye. And some of the subject matters have been really quirky, haven't they?
Yeah. I mean, I did one called Mysteries of Portsmouth.
Yes, that's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, that is hilarious. So what happened with that one was that I brought out with the University of Portsmouth a few years ago a book called Dark City. Mm. And Dark City is a tale of Portsmouth haunting and horror. And people were picking that up, and it's fiction, and it's done by lots of local writers. People kept picking that up and going, oh, have you got any real ghost stories? And I'm like, where do you find real ghost stories? So I went to the British newspaper archive. I looked for anything supernatural, paranormal, unexplained that made it into the papers that was based in Portsmouth. And oh my goodness me, I found all sorts of crazy, weird stuff. And that is really good fun. Yeah.
And there is a lot of crazy, weird stuff happens in Portsmouth.
Yes.
I've been here 10 years. I love it.
And since you've been here, there's been more crazy, weird stuff.
Thanks, Matt. We're having a short break while the weird stuff continues, and we'll listen to a bit of music.
Cool.
Yes, I know. Girl, weird stuff. What are you like? Okay. So it's time for Matt's chosen bit of music, which is not particularly weird. It's Paperback Writer by the Beatles. Paperback.
So we're back talking to Matt Wingett. Now, I'd just like to ask you, Matt, what advice would you give to anyone seeking to get published or for people self-publishing?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting question, because they are different things. Getting published and self-publishing are different things. And it works at different levels, because essentially it depends where you are as a writer. In order to get published, in many ways, you need to have got to a stage in your writing where you are really competent and confident in what you're doing. That's kind of the first thing. So that means that you're producing stuff that is really readable and people want to read it. That's great. The next thing is working out what the market is. Because obviously, when you're publishing a book, you're not just writing it. You also want people to read it and to sell it to them. That's kind of the job of a publisher, right? So when you go to a publisher, you need something that's marketable.
Yes.
And there are lots of different ways to do that. I mean, one of the things that a lot of publishers did, you know, after the Harry Potter sequence of stories came out, was that was the big thing at the time, is they kept going to writers, oh, have you got something like Harry Potter but different?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yeah, you know. there is a danger with this in compromising your creative vision by trying to chase the market.
Oh.
But at the same time, there is an issue to do with, is the thing that you are selling marketable? So there's two things there. How do you get into publishing? I mean, or to getting published? Then, you know, by the Writers and Artists Yearbook, I'm sure that this advice has been given many, many times. Write to agents, send them samples of your work and see if they take you on. And then they will be the interface with the agent. If you're self-publishing, then you still have to ask that question. What is the purpose of publishing it? Is it just to get it out to your friends so that they can see and to entertain them, or to family? Yeah. And I've seen that with people who've written biographies. You know, they've written biographies because they've got on in life, they've done a few things in their lives, and they would like to share that with family who they would never maybe ever be able to tell them in detail. Mm. So, you know, there's really interesting stuff there that you can do, and that's not going to be a seller. You know, let's face it.
But it's valid if that's what you want to do.
Totally that. Absolutely. And then, you know, what I do is, you know, I make my living from publishing. I literally, how do I sell books? I go to a market stall, hire a market stall, and I literally interface with the public and sell them a book over the table. Mm. And that's, you know, that's how I do it. And that, I do enough to make a living from. Mm. Now, there are loads and loads of different ways to get out there to the general public. You know, some people, for example, a friend of mine in fact, my brother-in-law in Northumbria is a guy called the Grizzly Forager. And, yeah. And what he
now
does...
he's hairy.
Yeah, yeah. Now, he's got two beautiful kids. And what he does is he does little short films that he started off doing on, I think, Instagram.
Wow.
And they do foraging for mushrooms and, you know, all sorts of stuff in the countryside, because he lives in the Northumbria National Park. And he's built up a following on Instagram of 400,000 people.
Goodness.
So he got approached by a publisher.
Right.
Because they said, you've got these beautiful photogenic kids and, you know, you've got this really interesting subject and, you've got this kind of entertainment value in the whole thing. Let's do it.
Ready-made product, really.
Exactly that. So, you know, so once again, you know, there's how is it marketed is the question.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm kind of like very small beer. I'm a micro publisher. I make my living from it, and that's just about it. You know, my brother-in-law, John, you know, the sky's the limit with what he's doing. But what he's done is produced product. Mm-hmm. You know, he's thought about what he's doing. The same thing with, you know, I mean, one of the things that's really interesting is, for example, the split between fact and fiction, or non-fiction and fiction. Most non-fiction, or more non-fiction, is read by men than by women. More fiction is read by women than by men. So, you know, again, looking at who your market is and trying to work it out. So there's a lot of stuff there. And then actually getting a product which is well produced. If you're self-publishing, that means knowing how to do layout, or getting someone to do layout for you, making sure that the cover is good and that the font that you use on the cover is good, because so often you see books by that are self-published that have really been let down by the artwork on the cover.
Well, that's your shop window, the cover of the book, isn't
it? Exactly, you know. Yeah. So you've really got to make that appealing, and you know, that whole thing about you can't judge a book by its cover, it's true, but someone won't pick it up if it's got a rubbish cover. So they're not going to be able to judge it, are they? You know, so that's really, you know, important as well. So, yeah, there's lots of different factors to consider when you're publishing, you know. And the number one question with publishing, rather than writing, the number one question with publishing is it saleable? Mm-hmm. And if you're self-publishing, that should then feed back to what you're writing if you want to get stuff published.
So you've really got to look at it from almost like a third-person sort of viewpoint. If I saw this in a bookshop, what would attract me to it? What would make me pick it up? Let me read what it's about. Am I interested?
Yes.
Sort of questions?
Except that that's not a third-person. That's a first-person question. The third-person question is which people out there are interested in this book?
Yeah.
What is the market?
Yeah.
You know, rather than it being about self, it's about who's out there that I can connect with.
So is that a question you really need to ask at the beginning rather than at the end when it's a finished product?
Yeah, I mean, the reason that I got into doing the Portsmouth stuff, or one of the reasons I got into the Portsmouth stuff, is Portsmouth has an incredibly proud identity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got a really strong sense of self. They want to know about this place.
Yeah.
You know, people want to know. People who live here are proud of it and are fascinated by it. The amount of people who come to me on market stalls and go, I never knew that. It's so cool.
Absolutely.
You know, and so that sense of excitement. And, you know, if you're getting kids reading, very often you get kids reading because they're reading about stuff that's familiar to them, that they know. And, you know, that's really cool with Portsmouth. So, you know, so there's lots of fun to be done there as well.
Absolutely.
And one book that people go, oh, wow, I never knew that. That's really amazing. Is one that I did a while ago called Portsmouth, A Literary and Pictorial Tour. And with that one, basically what I do is take you on a tour through Portsmouth through the words of 50 different authors referencing 75 different books. And what I'm doing is giving you all these wonderful kind of historical facts about Portsmouth, like why Lawrence of Arabia was in Portsmouth, what Beatrix Potter was doing here, all sorts of really fascinating stuff. And lots of historical stuff too. So yeah, that one's a really good example of it.
I love that book. I bought that myself. And we've got some really exciting news to talk about on that book after the bit of music.
Yeah, I have a suspicion I might know what this bit of exciting news is. Get your pens and papers ready, you know, just a hint. Anyway, we'll be right back. And this is Sweet Little Mystery by Wet, Wet, Wet.
So, I did say earlier that we had some news about Matt's book, Portsmouth, A Literary and Pictorial Tour, and he's offered us 3 signed copies as part of a competition that we'll be running in Book Club. We've got a question that we want the listeners to answer. Now, what's the question, Matt?
Yep, very straightforward one, and I've already given the answer in the interview earlier on. So, what famous writer was born in Portsmouth in 1812?
Oh, wow. Okay, so I hope you've all written that down and scrolled backwards on the catch-up on the radio. And if you'd like to email us in, and the email that you need to write into for the competition is bookclub, all one word, at victoryonline.co.uk. And it's just so kind of you, Matt, to give those 3 copies away. And if you're writing, the winners will pull some winners out the hat. 3 winners will get a signed copy of Matt's wonderful book about Portsmouth. So I'd like to thank you, Matt, for coming in today and talking about publishing. That's just so interesting.
Sure, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And to just let the PAC members know that the next meet-up in person that we've got coming up in March is on the Wednesday, the 26th of March, at the Hideaway Cafe in Highland Road, and it starts at 7 p.m. And that's a chance to come in and see the local authors and actually hear some of their work. So please pop in and say hi, and we're looking forward to seeing you then.
Yep, thanks ever so much, Matt, for coming in. Always a pleasure to talk to you. And you, Jackie, great first week doing the book club, I think. Well done. So we have a competition, 3 copies of Matt's book to give away, signed, of course. The question he's asked is,
what famous writer was born in Portsmouth in 1812?
So drop us an email at bookclub, all one word, at victoryonline.co.uk. Good luck with that. What we'll do is we'll put the names of the right answers in the hat and tell you who's won next week on Book Club. That's all we've got time for now. So until next week, cheerio, and keep on learning.